Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Ray.
Hello, hello, hello. As I was saying, this may be our most unique show ever because I've been trying to connect to Blog Talk Radio for I don't know how long, and it has not been working until this last second before we were supposed to go live. Let's see if this works getting Jay on. Jay, are you there? Jay, are you there? Oh, brother. I put him through, but obviously he can't hear me. And he said, be right back, and he's going to come out and try to come back in. So this is, in much less detail, the podcast here with you live, excuse me, on a Saturday night, December the 23rd, 2023. I'm Dre. Jay is trying to get in. As we know from last week, that may work, but it may not.
Hello.
Jay, are you there? I can hear
Hello.
You. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no. So what happened was I tried to get onto the show so fast that what happened was I didn't connect my headphones.
Oh.
So I could hear you through my speakers, but it wouldn't give me the option to connect my headphones to the computer unless I left the show.
You were so excited when I said I actually connected. You're like, oh, my God.
Well, I was actually in bed. I was laying in bed, about to go to bed. And all of a sudden I'm laying there and I hear my phone buzz. I'm like, oh, what's that? And I was like, oh, you connected. It's like, okay.
It was the very last try with 30 seconds before the show went live, and it finally decided to connect. So
we'll see what we end up getting. This could end up being just like last week.
Right.
Where we only got the awards portion of the show done before the whole thing went to hell. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
So everything comes with a big asterisk because, yeah, I went back and listened to that show. And at the moment when I stopped hearing you must have been when I dropped, because you stayed on for a little while longer, and then eventually I think you left.
No, I did the whole show. I finished it out.
Oh.
I finished my awards, and I did my picks, and I read your picks, because you had emailed me your picks at that point.
Oh, yeah. At that point, I was just like, oh, this thing's gone to hell, so I stopped listening.
Right. No, I don't blame you, but I kept going just in case it picked me up, and it did.
Okay.
So go figure.
So once again, you got to give my completely out of context picks.
with no detail at all. That's right.
Well, it is much less detail.
That's even less detailed than normal, though. That's just, here's his pick, and that's it. And here's his lock, and that's it. So.
Yeah.
Well, I got them in. I got all of them in.
You got them all in. It's on the record. It all counted. We've got three games in already this week again. So just a couple of really weird weeks and situations. But we got our picks out on Twitter today, and we're on and we're live. And we've got our awards. I've got everything ready to go. So the nice thing was you told me the show was ready. It wasn't like, oh, crap, I didn't have all my prep done. No, I'm ready. So
right. No, that's kind of why I kept going and kept trying, because I got all this prep that I've been working on while I'm sick as hell, and I didn't want to just let it go to waste. And that's basically why I kept trying tonight. And I would have tried tomorrow morning, but you're like, that's Christmas Eve. That's a no.
Yeah, so. We're out of the house tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's why we couldn't do that. But hey, I tried and we finally got it going, and we're going live. I'm even more discombobulated than normal. I'm already told you I'm going to be a little less energy wise than normal because I got the goop again. I was sitting there at bowling Wednesday night, and this woman. Well, we weren't even bowling against her.
Yeah.
But she was clearly sick and decided to spare her team by, when she wasn't bowling, taking a seat at a table way back away from her team and her opponents. That table happened to be directly behind us. So she's just coughing and hacking away the whole time.
Nice.
I'm like, this is not good. So I had a bad feeling about that. So Thursday I was fine. Yesterday, my birthday, I woke up, my throat was burning. I'm like,
oh, shit. Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You get the goop.
What a fabulous birthday present. I was, my wife was going to take me to Texas Day Brazil. I was going to eat all the meats, and nope, all of that is completely out the window because I am sick. And came home and took the home test, and that faint. Second line, they tell you how faint it is. If it's faint, it's still counting. It was faint, but it was there. So.
You got the free copy of the home game.
Yes. The lovely parting gift. That's where I've been, what I've been dealing with the last few days, sitting here isolated in this bedroom, trying to stay away from my wife. She claims she feels okay so far, but that's what happened. The first time I got the goop, she felt fine for like a week, and then a week later she got the symptoms. So.
Well, you sound pretty good.
I sound better than I thought, but it's been, 8 minutes? Get back to me in 2 hours.
Yeah, we'll see how it's going.
Where am I going now? To the awards, to the Week 15 awards, as we look back on that. But first, we have to look at the numbers from Week 15, and we came up once again with some very even numbers. We did everything right down the middle.
Hey, it was right down the middle, Daddy.
7-7-2 for both of us for Week 15. Two pushes in there. So 10 pushes for the year. That's kind of unusual.
It's picked up a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. Not quite sure how to see that, but for the season, you're still 6 games behind. I'm at 108-106. You're at 102-112. You picked up your lock, and I didn't. You were able to lock up the Rams over that terrible Washington outfit, which you say just take all the DFS receivers against them and just play them away. And that seems to be indeed the thing to do. So you picked the hot team with the Rams and got that done. I picked the Jets. Why every time I pick the Jets as my lock do they get absolutely annihilated?
I didn't hear the show, so when I saw that, and then after the fact, but I looked back and I'm like, he locked up the Jets. Things just do not go well for you at locking up the Jets. You tried to do my move from locking up the Jets
right, from
a few
week
weeks
before.
Ago, and you're like, oh wow, yeah, watch this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it worked out great for you, but not for me.
30-0.
Oof. That's my lock. So putting you
like
one
to say,
game.
When you blow your, when you lose locks though, you don't just like barely like that. Your locks go down hard when you lose them.
Yes. You know, anyone can lose a lock by a point or two. I
right?
like to get blown out. So that's what I did there. So putting you one lock, within one lock of me. Now you have 8 on the season and I have 9. So you're coming up fast behind me.
Creeping
there.
Up.
That was our second week in a row of tying our record for the week. So once again, we go back to the last week we didn't tie, which is week 13, when you beat me 7-5. So that means once again, you have the honors. So Jay, after all that, you get out of bed, you get all your notes together, And now you get to tell us what was your best of week 15.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, even to push the week, and I was so close to coming out ahead, but I started the week down two last week, you know, because I lost two out of the three Saturday games, or two of them to you for sure. And, yeah, to even be able to come back and get up, because I got up on you on Sunday just to have it pulled away from me, snatched right out of my hands at the last second. Yeah, so I
got zero games in the Sunday afternoon, early afternoon. I got none of them.
Right. I got nothing on the days that weren't Sunday against you, and then I got everything on Sunday. So that was weird.
Weird.
And then I am still, much to the chagrin of Rashard Mendenhall, as myself, a mediocre white guy, going to comment on the best, the worst, the smartest, the dumbest, and all of those things this week. So I'm sticking it to Rashard Mendenhall and sticking it up for mediocre white guys everywhere.
You do that.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, yeah, I saw that this week. I was like, oh, my God. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's social media. Everybody gets an opinion, right?
Everybody, that's exactly right, including us.
Exactly. And so your best week.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm going back to Saturday, and I'm going back and giving best of the week to Jared Goff, because the Lions, in a spot at home against the Broncos, just went off. And Jared Goff goes for 278 and 5 touchdowns, spreads it out all over. Sam LaPorta, 3 touchdowns, making a case for, you know, some Rookie of the Year votes, which I'm sure he's going to get. I don't think he's going to win, but he'll get the votes because he's having an outstanding rookie campaign. Both running backs, you get Jahmyr Gibbs goes for 100, David Montgomery goes for 85. So it's just a complete offensive onslaught that the Lions put down on the Broncos, whose defense had been trending up. We've been talking about that, because after you give up 70, the only way you can trend is up. But, yeah, the Lions at home, after being shaky for a few games, they put the stop to that, and they put the beat down on the Denver Broncos. But, yeah, Jared Goff plays completely clean, 5 touchdowns, no picks, just an outstanding performance all around by them. So Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions offense, my best of the week.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Crazy. There's a stupid website. There's nothing for an hour, 2 hours, no connection, no phone, no nothing. Now I get in and everything's working. The sound
is
working.
You got the drops. Well, they must have. They said they were working on the problem. They fixed it.
Apparently.
You know what they did? They unplugged it and plugged it back in.
That's how you fix everything. Just restart the damn thing. I don't know why they don't just do that. That Detroit game Saturday night, yeah, that was they pushed around the Broncos, the air and ground attack. Broncos D had no answers. And then you got Sean Payton and Russell Wilson bitching at each other on the sideline during that game. So,
yeah,
whatever kumbaya that they were doing and getting it together, apparently now it's not so peaches and cream. So we'll see how they get mend those fences and get things back together coming up this week. My best of the week tonight, notwithstanding, this is the Week 15 awards, not Week 16. My Super Bowl pick, my Buffalo Bills, putting it on the Dallas Cowboys in a way that I love. You know, the old school way, the running down their throats way. And that's your Super Bowl matchup is Buffalo San Fran, and it looks. I was going to say it looks really good until tonight, but
they won.
They did. They sure didn't look like a Super Bowl contender, but they did win. But Week 15, they looked like a Super Bowl contender. They were the best to me. The light Dallas defense. They're fast and light, but when you get shoved around early and often by an offensive line, then you just look light. You know, lack of discipline by the Cowboys. You had a roughing the punter penalty. Bills ultimately got a touchdown out of that. But yeah, just the way they did it with Cook and the O-line shoving people downfield. I haven't seen a team get shoved 20 yards downfield like that in run blocking all season. And that's what Buffalo did repeatedly over and over again, wound up running for 266 as a team. And Dallas was getting injured trying to stop Buffalo. That's how bad it was. Their defenders were actually getting hurt trying to slow them down. Just a full bitch slapping. That wasn't a sunning. That was a bitch slap. That was a pimp job. Like, they put the Cowboys on the street and said, go get my money, bitch. 49 rushes, 179 on the ground by Cook, plus another 42 in the air and a touchdown. 54 more yards rushing by Ty Johnson. They didn't even need Project to beat himself up to dominate and win that game. The Bills were my best of Week 15.
Yeah, that's an easy one to give it to. And boy, the Cowboys just we talk about heckle and jive. They just keep finding themselves either the best of the week or the like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And here they just had gone and played. And beat the whoop the hell out of Philly, and they're like, oh, they're look at the Cowboys, look at the things they're doing, and then they go and they do that against the Bills, and then like you said, just absolutely manhandled by the other team.
It shoved them up and down. That's beautiful. That's football. That's old school football, the way I like it.
Yeah. So, all right.
It brings you to the worst of Week 15.
You know, sometimes your best and worst, smartest and dumbest, they go kind of hand in hand because you kind of can't have one without the other. So you'd think it would be really easy to give it to, this is going to be for a few awards this week where it's like, well, maybe we only get the worst because we had kind of almost the best, but I'm not going to give it to the 63-point effort of the Raiders. In prime time, I'm going to give this to watching a team in the Chargers just and again, notwithstanding what we saw tonight, they tried tonight, but that last, maybe they played better on defense because they fired the defensive guru, Balls of Staley. He wasn't calling the defense and their defense played okay. But in that game, you watched a team just quit, and that's hard to watch. Where you're watching receivers, before they get taken down, just like lose control of the football because they're just not trying anymore. Pick sixes, fumble returns for touchdowns, just everything falling apart for them. You know, I even said it when I made my pick for the game tonight that clearly the only guy left on that roster trying by the end of that game was Easton Stick, and that's because he just didn't know any better.
He was just happy to get on the field.
He was just happy to be here at that point and be out there playing while the whole rest of that team around him went hashtag full of quit. And you never like to see that. When you can clearly see it, it was called out by people during the week in the media, in the socials, watching the game. You're watching a team that's lost all the faith in its coaching staff and players that just look like they don't want to be there, and that's the kind of result that you get. To a point where we're joking about, Brandon Staley getting fired at halftime. I'm saying it at 28-0, and then at 42-0, the whole crescendo started where everybody was jumping on the socials asking if we could just fire this guy at halftime. He didn't make it much past the game. He made it to the next day. But yeah, in the 63-7 at one point in that game before a couple of garbage time touchdowns. But watching a team implode and quit on its coach and its season, that's my worst of the week.
I waited Saturday. I waited Sunday. I waited Monday for a team to give a worse effort than the LA Clippers on Thursday to start Week 15. I couldn't do it. So the Jets came really close. My lock, of course. they got shut out. Obviously, that's terrible. But they didn't bend over and give up 63 to the Raiders.
Who just lost 3-0.
who were shut out 4 days before this game.
Yeah.
That team came out and put 3 TDs on the Chargers in the first quarter, 3 more TDs in the second quarter, 2 more TDs in the third quarter, and 1 in the fourth for good measure. They got tired of scoring, I guess. That's why it went down every quarter. They got a pick six. They got a fumble touchdown return. And the Brandon Staley nail in the coffin. So that's the end of your guy, your favorite coach.
I'm going to miss him. I am.
Balls of Staley. That's truly your guy. So moment of silence for Brandon Staley.
I'm pouring one out right now.
There's no chance he's getting another head coaching job ever again.
Hugh Jackson got another, you know.
He wasn't as bad, I don't think.
Whew.
He was pretty bad, I know. All right. That was both of our words.
How did he get another D coordinator job, though? He couldn't call defense.
for a, like a desperate franchise like the Panthers or something like that.
For JUCO. That's
for Bethune-Cookman State or something?
Yes.
Okay. Your smartest of week 15.
Oh, boy. I'm going to Miami, in Miami Jets game. Yeah. I'm giving this one to Tua and Jalen Waddle. I don't know if you saw, but Quinnen Williams got a sack on Tua, middle of the second quarter, 10-0 game, decides that at what he's going to do in response to this sack is he's going to mock Jalen Waddle's dance, right? The little waddle, you know, thing mm-hmm. that he does. Very next play, Tua just airs one out to Waddle for a 60-yard touchdown. That is how you respond to a guy in your house getting up and doing your dance, mocking your team, is you just air it out to the guy in the very next play for a 60-yard TD. So Tua and Waddle hooking up, shoving it in the face and in the rear of Quinnen Williams is my smartest of the week.
Yeah, they toasted them. My smartest of the week would be all these awesome late-season run-the-ball efforts, old-school gridiron, grind it out, all that good stuff. I already talked about Buffalo, but I want to give smartest to all the rest of the teams who did the same thing in this week 15. Baltimore put 251 yards of rushing on Jacksonville to snuff them out. Your lock of the week, the Rams and Kyren Williams, he puts away the Commanders Saturday. The Colts, Troy Sermon and Tyler Goodson running down the Steelers' throats. Detroit, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, they push around the Broncos. They had no answers. All of them taking advantage of the hogs up front. That's bully ball. I'm all about the bully ball, and I'm going to give another award to the bully ball because that's how much I love seeing it.
Yeah, it's old school. It's, you know, but it's December, right? Even though it wasn't really a lot of, you know, it wasn't weather-driven. It's just you've got to exploit weaknesses. And
right.
We talked about this with Derrick Henry and the Titans and how they're so different because all these teams now you've had to change defense to be pass, you know, stopping the pass. We have to be more pass coverage oriented, which makes you lighter and more easy to run on. So maybe we're starting to see that because we are starting to see running totals like we haven't seen in a while.
I don't know if that's a permanent trend or if it's a late season trend or what,
yeah.
But yeah, it seemed like a bunch of teams all at once in week 15 were like, okay, we're through trying to air it out. Let's just run it down these people's throats and get out of here and do it the way that we're supposed to do it.
Yeah, it worked.
It did. Brings you to your dumbest of the week.
Yeah, I hate to go back to the same game that I talked about already, but I'm going to the Raiders and the Clippers.
No!
I'm giving this one, I don't know if you saw this because it happened so late in the game, I'm giving my dumbest of the week to Austin Eckler.
I definitely didn't see anything that happened in that game late.
Oh, this is the best. Austin Eckler decides that he's going to get an 11-yard run. And he gets up right in the face of a Raiders defender and right for all the fans and gives the big first down sign, right? You know, all these guys do whenever it was 63-7 when he did that. And I don't care what you're doing. And he did rightfully get roasted all over the socials, you know, this week. And so it's out there. It's hilarious. But, yeah, he gets up right in the face of the defender, does the first down thing, drops the ball. Like, he's the coolest guy on earth. And they're losing by 56 points when he did that. Austin Eckler, dumbest of the week.
Don't. That reminds me of some of those NBA players. Some of those kids are so happy when they make a big three.
It's the Chris Paul meme. Which I'm sure you've seen, you know, where it shows the picture and it says, you know, Chris Paul hits the three to, you know, cut the lead to 42. that's what that pretty much was. Austin Eckler, great job. You got a first down and you're losing by, what, 8 touchdowns?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, Eckler has had so little success this year. I guess he hasn't celebrated anything he can. My dumbest of week 15. The Seahawks, down 10-0 near the half, could have turned the tide and just chose not to. They on fourth down, they set up a hard count to draw the Eagles successfully off sides. There was a guy that jumped. I was watching the play. I don't know if this made the socials or not because it was a small thing, but I was like, what are they doing? They did the hard count, and they made the guy jump briefly offside.
Yeah.
And they did nothing. They didn't snap the ball. They didn't jump out of their stance. They didn't do anything. They just sat there and held perfectly still and instead called timeout and took the field goal. You got to have a play set up for the hard count. I'm sorry. Why are you even running the hard count if you're not going to take advantage when they jump offside for the hard count? So that was stupid to me because what's the point of doing that? Aaron Rodgers, when he sets that up, as soon as the guy jumps, his center knows, snap the ball.
They know.
It's a free play.
Go.
Yep, go time. And they didn't snap it. You don't even have to snap it. The O-line needs to jump at that point because when they jump and the defender's outside in the neutral zone, that's automatically on the defense. And they held perfectly still. Like, they got trained or coached to hold perfectly still on the hard count. And that's fine because they don't want you to false start and fuck up the play. I understand that. But you also got to have some football sense and some savvy. The Seahawks won the game, so it's a little, small potatoes by me to pick that out. But my mouth was open when I saw that. I was like, the dude is offside. You did it. You got him to jump. And you didn't do anything about it. Like, what are you doing? So that was my dumbest of the week.
Yeah. Although that, you know. They were playing the long game because they ended up winning.
Right. They knew they had the Eagles right where they wanted them, right?
Yes, exactly.
92-yard game-winning drive by Drew Locke.
You saw that coming, right?
Sure, of course. Everybody saw that coming. Well, I mean, in a way, I kind of did because he targeted DK Metcalf repeatedly.
Sure.
And I said that's how you beat the Eagles, is you take one of these – robot wide receivers that destroy everybody like Debo did to Philly. And now you got DK who's one of those as well, and you use him. They didn't use him for most of the game, but they used him when it counted at the end. And then toasting James Bradbury on the 29-yard touchdown.
Don't worry. We'll talk
Jackson
about
Smith
that.
Jackson Smith and Sid Chikma.
We'll talk about that later. Don't worry.
Your surprise of week 15.
My surprise, you already gave it your best of the week, but my surprise is seeing Josh Allen throw for 91 yards and the Bills win by 3 touchdowns naturally, right? Of course, because this is just the NFL in 2023 that you have a huge game between a 10-win team and an 8-win team or soon words to be, you know, a 9-win team, you know, a 10-win team, a 7-win team, but whatever. Huge game. Dallas goes to Buffalo, and if I tell you before the game, Josh Allen's going to throw for 94 yards.
I'm like, oh, shit, the Bills are
in trouble. Oh, boy. Oh, man. How's this going to go? You know, how many house calls did Deron Bland have in this game? No, Josh Allen, 7 of 15 for 94 yards, one touchdown, and Buffalo wins by 21 points. Absolutely blew me away. All the indicators were that this was going to be, you know, Dak versus Allen, and this was going to be a shootout. They both combined for 228 yards passing. Combined. It was the James Cook show. Everybody getting it done on the ground. Latavius Murray falls into the end zone. They're using this Ty Johnson. You name them, they were running. Even Josh Allen, who's normally the leading rusher, didn't have to do it all by himself. But, yeah, he even chipped one in on the ground because, of course, he did. Not anything going for either team in the passing game. And the Bills just still absolutely, like you said, manhandled, dismantled, whatever you want to call it. They pretty much sunned the Cowboys. And, man, yeah, the Bills are they're peaking at the right time. I know they struggled today, but at least they struggled and won. So they're still setting themselves up for that playoff run. They really set themselves right against Dallas. And the way they did it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Hey, what happened?
No, yeah. It was definitely a surprise and a thing of beauty as far as I'm concerned. My surprise of the week, the Chiefs are still trying to make Kadarius Toney a thing. Eventually, you got to cut that out. He's going to make Patrick Mahomes have a nervous breakdown. I was surprised that they keep trying to go back to Kadarius Toney. Okay, he's got the physical skills and tools. We all know that, but how many guys have we seen throughout the years of our 40 years of watching football, guys that have the physical tools that can't play football? Some guys just can't play football. Even if you got all the skills and all the physical traits, you just can't do it. Mahomes freaked out after Kadarius Toney tipped a perfectly thrown pass into the air for an INT. Did you see the reaction of Mahomes on the sideline?
Not on that one, no.
He was basically had this look on his face like he's Rodney Dangerfield, like, what is going on? I can't get no respect. What is happening here? And he was exasperated.
Yeah.
Hey, I get no respect. Toney is terrible. He's got drizzling shits wrapped up. Like, that award is finished. There is nobody that's come close to playing as terrible at football this season as Kadarius Toney. That's a lifetime of fuck-ups that he's had this season. And he's going to drive Mahomes and Andy Reid absolutely crazy. Now, they figured it out.
Well, I don't know. There's a wide receiver duo in Pittsburgh that might be giving him a run for his money. Didn't happen today.
Right.
But
of course not.
Because there's talent. Yeah, of course. I totally get what you're saying. I don't know if either one of those guys has single-handedly lost their team two games.
And they finally figured it out because Kadarius Toney for this Christmas Day game, inactive. They finally came up with a phantom injury, and they said, "Son, go sit down. We've seen enough of you."
Yeah.
But I was surprised that they even lasted that long because, like, you got to know. You got to know at some point
he's
just not good.
Turf toe or something. Fatigue. Isn't that what they call it in baseball with the pitcher? It's just arm fatigue.
Arm fatigue, yes. His arm is just tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, they figure some injury out for him. I forget what it was, but it doesn't matter. So you're let down of week 15.
I've avoided going to this spot too many times, but, you know, you can only do this enough before I finally have to call out Arthur Smith. At Atlanta Falcons offense. This is supposed to be an offensive guru, right? He came, we had unlocked this Derrick Henry play action. I'm starting to think it was the players and not the coach.
You think Derrick Henry was the key there?
I think Derrick Henry was the key.
Okay.
I'm thinking that having that sort of generational freak athlete that you could go out there and just consistently hammer out 200-yard rushing. Yeah, that might be the secret. Because it's clearly not Arthur Smith. Manages only one touchdown. The first touchdown, for the game. Actually, the only touchdown in the whole game was scored by Atlanta en route to a 9-7 embarrassing loss to the Carolina Panthers. The Falcons have now lost to so many eliminated playoff teams. They've lost to the Cardinals. They lost to the Panthers now. They lost to Washington. They just keep stacking up and embarrassing losses, and this you just throw this one right on the pile. Their number one draft pick, Bijan Robinson, goes 7-for-11 with a fumble lost. That's his stat line for the day, and now the Falcons are going to get fined because they supposedly were playing with the injury report with Bijan because apparently he was sick. And nothing was reported, so that they're getting dinged for that. They keep leaning on these guys, these also-rans like Tyler Allgeier and Jonnu Smith being the leading rusher and receiver. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Silly turnovers, terrible quarterback play, bad decision-making, complete lack of offensive cohesion for a team that which is sadly wasting an extremely good defense this year, just completely throwing the whole thing away, crapping themselves right out of the playoffs in a division that they, boy, if they played any even league average on offense, division they'd be running away with. Arthur Smith and that Atlanta offense has just been a massive letdown.
I concur. You know, I didn't have a huge expectations for the Falcons, but we did both pick them to win the NFC South, right?
Yeah, because it's so bad.
Yes. I don't know what the coaching staff has been drawing up this year, and Sunday was the rock bottom. So I'm 100% with you. Don't have to go too much about it, but Desmond Ridder in field goal range just flings it across his body for an INT.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible interception. And the Panthers drive for the field goal. And the win, no wonder Ridder got benched, because that's just so there's a lot of problems there. It's not just Arthur Smith. It's also he can't trust his quarterback, but at the same time, and apparently he can't trust his running back because he's not playing him very much. Because I don't know, I don't know if Bijan Robinson is the next Derrick Henry at all, but he's pretty damn big, and you might want to give him more than 7 carries in the game and see what he makes out of it. But yeah,
I was going to say, I remember when they signed Tyler Heinicke, and I still remember what I put out on Twitter about how bad that Falcons quarterback room was, that they should form they were going to make a buddy cop movie about these guys called Short Leash and Stop Gap. And, boy, is that not playing out right before our eyes with Ridder with the short leash, and then you bring in this stop gap, you know, option in Heinicke. What's the saying? If you have 2 quarterbacks, you don't have any, and oh,
that's right,
man, they need to trade for Justin Fields like now.
We get to see stopgap step in there tomorrow.
It is stopgap tomorrow.
That's right. Only 7 runs for Bijan in the driving rainstorm. Like, what else do you need? What do you need to use him more? Like, what do you want? Carolina had no touchdowns. You cannot lose that game. So yes, I completely concur. Terrible, terrible letdown. Brings you to your Joe. Joe, where you at?
Where are you, Joe?
Struggling.
He was drinking. Yeah, allegedly.
The producer has the goop. I apologize.
You highlighted it. James Bradberry. First of all, you're struggling. You didn't just give up the catches to DK. You gave up every reception on that 92-yard drive, the final touchdown drive by Drew Lock and the Seattle Seahawks. Every reception on that drive was James Bradberry. Every single one, including the touchdown to JSN to ice it. Absolutely wild that you watch one guy all the way get dog-walked down the field by Drew Lock. If that's not struggling, I don't know what is. That is the quintessential struggling, that you go out there and get picked on all the way down the field and then give up the game-winning touchdown to Drew Lock and the Seahawks in a game that the Eagles were winning the whole way. It was gutty, but they did get that lead. That they had my cover. Everything was good. And, yeah, then they get them down to the eight because they just couldn't quite get there with the offense, so they have to punt. Not much time left on the clock. And James Bradbury just gives up the booty all the way down the field. And, yeah, struggling.
In the Lemuel Stinson manner of getting toasted over and over and over again. Shout out to Lemuel Stinson, wherever he may be.
Toast.
Toast. I play the full Joe Namath, not the full, but I go extended when I honor his team in this particular award.
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
And boy, are the Jets struggling.
I
didn't give them worst, but Joe, your guys are definitely struggling. They got swept by the Dolphins. They get officially eliminated from playoff contention. They lose the 0.00001% of hope that Karen Rodgers would come to the rescue and save their season. And naturally, in this year of MASH, Zach Wilson follows his big 300-yard day by going to Miami and getting dumplings. Of course, naturally.
Yep.
So the Jets get shut out. Why is it every time I lock the Jets, they get assaulted? The week after you locked them. I already bitched about this.
Well, I remember the one time you locked up the Jets, so and I laughed at you.
And you should have laughed at this one, apparently.
But you know what? I didn't crap on your lock, though.
You couldn't, because you weren't there.
But I had the Jets and the points.
So you were with me.
I was with you on that, especially after what they shoot. I didn't know that Zach Wilson was going to go out and get dumplings and the team was going to go completely, you know, belly up. Man.
Fins up went tits up, as you like to say.
That's right.
The Jets went tits up against the Fins, actually.
Not the Fins. The Fins were the ones that did it to them.
Yes. I'm doing well to stay in here as long as I am.
You're hanging in. We're actually getting through this quicker, I think. So this might end up being a short show, which is perfectly fine.
Which is good for me because I got to go.
And we have a short slate, too. So.
That's right. So that was my struggling. That means you're Danielle.
Danielle. I'm sure you're going to love this one, but I'm giving my what the fuck to Darnell Mooney. Dude, you are laying on the ground in the end zone on the Hail Mary, and the Browns go up, and they do the right thing. They swat the ball into your lap.
Knock it down.
Well, they knocked it down, and it hits him. He's laying there. The ball is in his hands. Touchdown, Bears win, game over. And somehow he screws it up so bad it has to turn it into a pick for the Browns off of him back to themselves. And he had it. It was what the fuck, dude? What are you doing? Game over. And that would be one of those GOAT-level S-tier Hail Mary plays you'd see forever. Just like we talked about the one with Jacksonville where the guy batted it right to the receiver. This was the guy just laying there and the ball gets batted right into his lap, right on his belly. It's right. Sorry. I hate to do that to you. But, it was right there, perfectly thrown, jump ball into the end zone, all the little, you know, bumping and all those things that happen, and the Browns go up and bat it right into a dude's lap, and he couldn't come down with it. And he couldn't come down with it so bad that he bobbles it back to the other team to still pick it off in the end zone. And screw his quarterback.
Bye, Bears.
Bye, Bears.
Put a pick on. Oh, it just didn't fail. He threw the pick.
He's terrible. He threw the game-losing interception. He's awful. He's like that Cutler.
Oh, but get him out of town.
That's right.
He's not
He's awful.
Tough.
Winning the game 72-71.
I concur.
Oh, my God.
Not only does Chicago throw away another big lead, not only do they gag up massive chunk plays in the fourth to give it away, but Justin Fields launched a Hail Mary that could have saved everything, and we know what happened. Right off his stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, they you know, got a bunch of turnovers, so that's good, but they left everyone on Cleveland open. That's bad. So that's how the big comeback happened. And then
Flacco, man, he's just gunslinging.
Throw it up. Yeah, just throw it up. But, yeah, I've never seen an INT off the wide receiver's stomach, down his leg, off his foot,
yeah,
and in the air for an interception. That's a neat trick, Darnell Mooney. That's kind of impressive. I don't know how the hell you managed to do that. But, yeah, that was like the Bird and Jordan. Off the ball, off the wall, off the sideboard, off the backboard, nothing but net. He went off his stomach, down his leg. I've never seen anything quite like that. So I had the same reaction as you. What the fuck was that?
Okay. Well, we were kumbaya several times on this one, even to the point where we had awards just in different categories for guys. So
that's right. Do you happen to remember your last couple of awards for last week, because we got cut off?
Oh, sure. My week 14 awards. What are we talking about here? Which ones did I miss?
I definitely didn't get your Danielle, and I think you didn't get your struggling in either.
So my Joe, my struggling was talking about the Eagles Super Bowl hangover rearing its ugly head at the worst possible time, in their losing streak, and that continued again against Seattle, so it's very prescient. That sort of seems to be continuing. And then my Danielle, what we had already talked about during the awards, and I might have even said that was my Danielle, was the 3-0 Dome game.
Yeah, that is a what the fuck, that's for sure.
So, yeah, those were my that was the final touches on my week 14 recap.
Yeah. I just wanted to see if you had that available. I know you know, worked hard on them like I do.
I keep them all now in a spreadsheet.
See, that's just too modern for me. I've still used the pen and paper.
So I've got the whole season. You just tell me a week, and I could just scroll right back to it and pull it up. And
yeah. You didn't hear the podcast version. So my struggling in week 14 was the Clips being Brady Klin done. And yeah, because before that Thursday nighter, they got their ass beat by the Broncos at home 24-7 and looked like they were quitting then. So there was that. My what the fuck, I kind of wanted to talk to you about it because we didn't get a chance to talk about it. I wanted to see your opinions or thoughts about it. My what the fuck in week 14 was Tommy DeVito's agent. Did you see that shit?
Okay. Yes, but you're going to have to refresh my memory.
So that was it the Monday nighter? Yeah, against the Packers. Giants beat the Packers on Monday night. They keep going to DeVito's agent in the crowd. He's doing the Stu Gatz thing with his fingers. He's kissing DeVito's dad on the cheeks. He's dressed like he's auditioning for the community theater production of Goodfellas. Like, he was going all the way with all of the Italian stereotype stuff. I get it. They're embracing the, you know, Italian mafia stuff, which, okay, but they went so far into it as to be a caricature about it. So that was why it was my what the fuck. Because I'm like, what are we doing out here?
Yeah, they still are doing this.
There's a controversy about DeVito making an appearance for a pizza parlor that apparently they tried to extort the pizza parlor for more money because he's a quote unquote star now.
Oh man.
And
even though he's Tommy DeVito here, Danny DeVito, he's on his insanity run right now. So
yeah, his 15 minutes are about up.
Enjoy it while it lasts, son. He'll be a folk hero in New York. He'll probably be able to open himself up a little, you know, Tommy DeVito's pizza place, and he'll make money off of this for the rest of his life because he had an insane few games run for the Giants. Good job, son.
I'll predict that he'll get fired from a sports talk radio station 15 years from now for going on a racist rant or something.
I was going to say for sexual harassment.
He's still living at home with his mama, so I don't know how much sex he can possibly. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. But that whole, you know, Italian thing, I'm sure not everyone in his camp is happy with their depictions. And they got such bad pub from the pizza thing. I guess he wound up going there for free eventually.
Yeah.
So they're just fumbling all over the place. The whole, you know.
Yeah.
The whole 15 minutes of fame. They're not bathing themselves in glory during this.
He thinks this is the Sopranos now or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, glad we were able to stay on long enough to get our stuff in from 14 and 15. Let's see how long the connection continues to last. I will go to the plugs now, and for the next couple of minutes, you'll hear me tell you where you can find the podcast version of the show, which might be the only place you can hear it, because live we might be hearing what did you say we were hearing? Classical music live last week?
Yeah, but I tried to listen to the show. It was playing classical music.
Wow, that certainly wasn't me. I got Johann Sebastian Bach on my soundboard, but I wasn't playing him. Trust me. So who knows what's being picked up live? Hopefully, this is all going to the podcast. And where you can find our podcast, I'll play it now, and you can find that out. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me, and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the expressed written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. All right, as we said, we have a bunch of games that have already taken place for week 16. We started out Thursday night with the Rams beating up the Saints 30-22. Jay had the Rams in that one, and I had the Saints. Today's games, I got that game back because I had the Steelers over the Bengals, and Jay had the Bengals. And then we both lost the Bills pick because they were 12.5-point favorites and managed to squeak it out.
One by two
points.
Yeah.
So. That's where we stand for week 16, and now it's time to get into the rest of week 16 in even less detail. Starting with Indian Atlanta. I'm going slow.
I was like, pick a game, any game.
Yes. I was going to start with Cincy Pittsburgh. We did that. Then Buffalo Chargers.
Oh.
We did that. And then Indy Atlanta. Oh, we haven't done that one yet. There we go. Colts are 8-6. Falcons are 6-8 and definitely letting everybody down. For the Colts, the receiver, Michael Pittman, looked like he was going to be cleared from that Devontae KZ KO shot, and then they switched up and said, nope, he's actually out. So he probably came up with symptoms again. But they are expecting to get running back Jonathan Taylor back from his thumb injury. And as we already talked about, Bierman is QB1 tomorrow for Atlanta. Taylor Heineken steps in for the awful Desmond Ridder. In this one, the Colts are actually still the underdogs plus 2.5 at the Falcons.
Interesting line, given the just complete ineptitude that the Falcons have shown over the last, let's say, 6 weeks. They've won a couple of these games, but most of them if they've won, they've barely won. They've looked really bad, even in their wins, and even worse in their losses. One thing, at least, I'll give them: all their games are close. I guess that's a good thing, but they're even playing close against bad teams. I don't factor in the Colts as being a bad team. Michael Pittman's taking this game off because they're not going to need him. This is basically going to just be a week of rest. Perfect timing for Jonathan Taylor coming back, too, because Zach Moss is banged up. So it's almost, you know, hey, just swap one out for the other. I expect Taylor to go out there and probably have himself a nice day. Gardner Minshew, that wide receiver core, they've been making some nice gains. Indy's rolling. Falcons are reeling. I'm going to take Indy as the road dog here.
Yeah, I agree that it's interesting that the Falcons still managed to be favored despite how disappointing they've been playing. And yet I'm going to take them. I think the defense that you talked about, how good they've been playing,
yep,
they can come to the fore and hold things together and then shut down the Colts. I don't know if Bierman's going to come to the rescue and do anything, but it wouldn't surprise me because some of the stuff that Ritter's been doing has been so god-awful. Like, you almost think that Bierman can't be worse, right? So Indy's more organized but less talented physically. The Falcons aren't going to lose every game, even though they have the better weapons on the field. They win some of these, so this is one of those I think are going to actually use the weapons that they have and get a victory over the Colts. Seattle goes to Tennessee. The Seahawks are 7-7. The Titans are 5-9. Geno Smith is expected to return from his groin injury, but they won't have Frank Clark or Jamal Adams in their defense. The Titans get a Tanny Show reboot because Mayo Boy hurt his ankle. So Ryan Tannehill, one more start for the Titans. They also have key defenders out. It's mad.
Yeah,
everybody's hurt.
Yeah.
For this one, the Seahawks are the not surprising road favorite. They are -3.5 at the Titans.
Yeah, I find it hard to have strong feelings about this game either way. It's, you know, with both teams banged up on defense. Geno Smith comes back. How's he going to look coming back from the injury? Tennessee, usually very stout against the run. You can pass on them. We'll see how's Henry going to look against the Seattle Bengals. The whole thing's a mess. I'm taking the hook. I'll take Tennessee. We pick them all.
There you have it. I can't pick the Titans. They're disappointing as well, obviously, with the 5-9 record. I didn't think they were capable of playing down the way that they have, but they absolutely have. Titans should be undefeated in Nashville too. They just find ways to lose those home games. They can't play on the road, obviously, but
right,
those home games they should have won because the two that they lost, they should have won both of those too. Now they draw a team that's actually better than them and should just beat them. There shouldn't be any craziness or shenanigans to this one. I got Geno Smith over Ryan Tannehill, and I will take the Seahawks. We move on to Detroit, Minnesota. First divisional matchup of the year between these two teams. Lions are 10-4. Vikings are 7-7, trying to fight for a playoff spot. For the Vikings, their running back Alexander Mattison should play, but he's basically been demoted now. He's behind Ty Chandler, so he'll be there, but he might not get more than about 4 or 5 carries. For this one, the Lions are the road favorite, -3 at the Vikings.
Lions, I think, are going to – well, I should say the Vikings are getting the Lions at a bad time, which is the Lions after that stretch of – you know, kind of muddling along. Their defense wasn't playing good. They seem to find their mojo again against Denver. And, sometimes you see those teams, they kind of get that mid-season lull. Well, now the Lions know, hey, we're playing a division opponent. This is the closest division opponent to us. It's Nick Mullins. I don't expect him to, do anything great. He's got his weapons, but yes, clearly they've made the better move by benching Madison. He is a backup running back. Ty Chandler has been playing, Ty Chandler has been playing nice for them, but Detroit, they're healthy. They've got all those pieces on offense. They come at you so many different ways. I think that's enough for them to win and cover a field goal here.
I concur. Lions got to show Vikes that they're not on their level, especially with Nick Mullins at the helm. Like I said, they get them two games in the last 3 weeks to end the season. They got to do it to them twice. They got to beat them bad here in Minnesota, then they got to go back home to Detroit and really blow them out and send a message. So I will take the Lions along with you. Commanders, Jets. Speaking of, we pick them all. Washington 4-10. Jets are 5-9. Washington has two O-linemen out, and Brian Robinson, the running back, still can't get back on the field with his hamstring injury. For the Jets, of course, we talked about Zach Wilson. The MILF hunter is Dumplins. He's out, so Trevor Siemian gets the nod at quarterback for the Jets. Who is attending this game? That's what I want to know. Who's actually going to the Meadowlands and watching Commanders Jets? Washington, cop-out line plus 3 at New York.
I don't care who the quarterback is for the Jets. It doesn't matter. All you have to do in Washington, everybody in this organization right now, the quarterback, the coach, everybody, it's dead man walking time. I don't know if they're playing for anything anymore, but all I know is all Trevor Siemian has to do is throw it deep. Cause it'll work. Throw it deep to Garrett Wilson, throw it to whoever they've got. Just, you know, if Wayne Krabet wants to come out of retirement, just throw it deep. Everybody, just go get it. I'm going to take the Jets here. They still play the good defense at home. Washington, they're done. I mean, I don't know if they've quit, but they're just bad. They got that little bounce right after they traded their best defensive players. That's gone away. Now they just give up the booty to everybody through the air. I think that's enough for the Jets to win and cover.
Even to Trevor Siemian.
Everybody has had their best game of the season against this Washington pass defense. Everybody.
I understand that. I still can't do it. It's just I don't trust either team for a second, first of all. But Jets, you know, minus 3 as favorites over anybody, the way that they're playing, I can't do it. So I'll take Washington. Hopefully they just find a way to lose by 2. But I can't take the Jets minus 3.
That's a stunning endorsement. You're just hoping for a push here, aren't you?
Pretty much. I don't trust either team. Not at all. Packers, Panthers. Tough to trust these teams, too. Green Bay 6-8 and basically on their deathbed. And the Panthers at 2-12, somehow winning that game last week against Atlanta. A.J. Dillon should return from his thumb injury at running back for Green Bay, but Christian Watson, once again, will not be out there, the receiver, with his hamstring injury. Despite that, Green Bay is still the favorite, minus 4 at Carolina.
Yeah, I don't like this Packers team for Jordan Love, who's with the young quarterback, where he just doesn't have his pieces. They're all banged up. They haven't really been right offensively all year. Aaron Jones is out, or Dillon's out, or sometimes they're both out. No Christian Watson for an extended period of time. Jaden Reed is nicked up. It's just too much going on with that for me to have a lot of confidence in them. I'm going to take the Panthers here and the points. I still think that the Packers win, but I think the Carolina, they're not really playing for anything, but they at least showed last week, like if you let them hang around, they'll hang around. They could beat you. You can't let them do it. I think the Packers don't have the weapons to just put these guys to bed early. I think that the Panthers hang around and get a cover.
They'll also beat you if you throw across your body in the red zone for a terrible INT.
Oh, yes, they will.
The whole bottom will fall out of Green Bay if they find a way to get beat by Bryce Young. And yet, for reasons that you listed, I concur. Packers' defensive metrics are all trending down, and the Panthers' defensive metrics are all trending up. Like, it does not seem like it's going to turn out well for Green Bay. I love the under here. And I'm going to take the Panthers and the 4 points along with you. And I think they can even win the game. If they can beat Atlanta, they can beat Green Bay. The Browns and the Texans have a very interesting battle for playoff seeding and trying to push themselves up closer to the top of the wild cards. Cleveland at 9-5, Houston at 8-6. We know about Cleveland and their quarterback situation. They've moved on to Joe Flacco and gave him all the money and praise him as their savior. Houston will have to go to more Case Keenum because C.J. Stroud is still dumpling. They won't have their rookie defender, Will Anderson, again with his bad ankle, but Nico Collins looks to return at wide receiver from his calf injury. The Browns are the road favorites here. They love some Joe Flacco. They are -3 at the Texans.
And for good reason. Joe Flacco has been the man since he came back, and he's just airing it out. You know, you want to talk about this, you know, just play like there's no tomorrow, this devil-may-care attitude. Joe Flacco is it right now, right? He's the old guy. He's getting a shot. He's putting some stuff on film. If he wants a contract next year or if he, you know, if he still wants to play in the league going forward, he's making himself a great case. Not a great case would be Keenum on the other side of the ball. See what I did there? And him missing pieces at Houston, they had their peak. They are not their peak without C.J. Stroud. And I know they got that win last week, but this is Cleveland. Cleveland's defense, though, not the same on the road, but they're also going on the road against a team that's not really throwing all of its weapons at them. And I think Cleveland's rolling into the playoffs here. I'm taking the Browns, giving the points, locking it up.
Ooh.
Hey!
I saw you with the case there. Locking up the Brownies. Not trying to crap on your lock. I'm going to go with the Texans and Case Keenum. And they shouldn't have won that game, again, in Tennessee. I understand that. But Keenum did play a lot better than I thought he would. He was much better than I figured. I'm going to take Houston. The Joe Flacco renaissance is great, but Case Keenum might outgun him. Both defenses are tough. Who gets pressure should get the W. Who gets the most pressure? And I had to go to the stats for that one, and I was surprised to see that it's actually by a pretty wide margin. The Texans, they have 52 hurries on the season, and Cleveland only has 33. So I don't know what D'Amico Ryans is doing with that D down there in Houston, but I think they're going to get after Flacco and cause some turnovers. And I'll take the Texans, and I'm crapping on your lock.
Okay. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
All right. Move on to the late.
I need to pick up my lock on you here, so yes, let's go. And I can win a game and get a lock. That's what I need.
To the late Sunday action tomorrow, Jacksonville, Tampa Bay down in Florida. Jags at 8-6, Tampa at 7-7. They're both in Florida. This game's actually in Tampa. Trevor Lawrence was dumplings. He has been cleared, we think. Again, check your inactives tomorrow because there's a lot of shenanigans being played with some of these injuries. That some guys get cleared and then they get uncleared and then they get cleared again and they come up with a phantom injury. And we think Trevor Lawrence is playing quarterback tomorrow for the Jags. And Zay Jones with his hand is probably not, but they haven't made an official ruling on that yet. Jags, basically it's a pick 'em. Jags are -1 at Tampa.
I'm talking about struggling. I am struggling with the Jaguars right now, who should just be on cruise control into the playoffs here. All the pieces are there for them, and we're watching them do the victory auto wreckers right in front of us this season. It's not as bad as what we watched the Titans do last year to crap away the division, so I don't think the Jags are crapping away the division. But it's not looking real good for them. And they've really been struggling lately. I'm taking the Bucs here. We talk about the Bucs and their one magic play, and it just keeps working. So just keep throwing the ball to Mike Evans, and they've sprinkled Chris Godwin back in, and Rashad White, who is the least efficient, most productive back in the league, he's going to get his. I'll take Baker at home to keep his season rolling. The first place Bucks.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Jags don't smell good, and on the other side, Baker discovered Chris Godwin's on his team. He doesn't have to get any more texts from Godwin's wife or something. So he actually is targeting Godwin and making him a part of the offense and not just throwing that up to Mike Evans. So that's a good thing. Again, Jags defensive metrics all trending down. Tampa's offensive metrics all trending up. I concur, and I will take the Bucs to knock off the Jags. On to the Cardinals and Bears, the former Chicago Cardinals, who are now in Arizona playing the Chicago Bears. Arizona 3-11, Chicago 5-9. Just because of Justin Fields and all the drama around him, it feels like the Chicago media is making him making it every game is a referendum on Justin Fields.
You're more of the Bears fan. I mean, I grew up in Chicago, but you're the Bears fan. Isn't this just the way it's always been?
Yeah.
If Justin Fields wins the game. They've got the two articles already written, right? To keep them, get rid of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's sickening.
Yeah, basically, if he's not, like, the most perfect quarterback ever, they want to get rid of him. So.
Right.
Any game he plays or he doesn't win it, he's terrible. Got to get rid of him. But between that and Kyler Murray continuing his comeback from his injury, this is actually one of the more interesting, you know, 3-win versus 5-win games I think you could have out there.
Sure.
Cards will not have Hollywood Brown. He's got a bad heel. The Bears have gotten some great blocking out of Tevin Jenkins, but he's dumpling, so he won't be there tomorrow either. Cards are the underdog in Chicago +4 at the Bears.
I don't have the numbers like you have the numbers, but I'm going to say, just from what I've seen, that Bears defense, since they made the trade for Montez Sweat, has got to be trending up because they have been.
They are
getting pressure. They are getting turnovers. They are a completely different looking defense, and Justin Fields has been playing fine. their problem is blowing all these leads. Whether it's, you know, is it a late turnover? Is it, you know, Joe Flacco just, you know, finding wide open guys and carving up a defense that way? To lose these games, especially where they're in the turnover, it's just such a frustrating season for the Bears, who we talked about are in that unique position of getting the number one pick and they don't have to tank, which is one of the most unique positions I think a team has ever been in. So they can keep trying. You have a quarterback who's playing for his future. I'm taking the Bears, given the points. I thought about locking this one up, but there's a lot of positives for a really, you know, a bad team. They're actually starting to put things out there that don't just look awful. They're definitely better than they were last year, but they're still bad. Even though Justin Fields hasn't been as fun as he was last year, I've seen him making more plays through the air. He's finding DJ Moore. He's got a really nice report. There's positive signs for the future. So what are they going to do at the end of the year? They're going to blow the whole thing up because that's just what the Bears do. But I'll take them here and I'll give the points.
Yeah, they have to keep trying because apparently every game, if Justin Fields doesn't play well, he's at risk of being shipped out like he's a migrant and thrown into another city or something. It's crazy how they treat athletes down in Chicago, up in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Bears as well. This is a game that they can actually win. A game they should win. They've had all these games where they've had plenty of chances to win and found a way to blow it. This is an opponent they should handle. Doesn't mean they will, but they should. I don't have the deep numbers, but the pass defense is trending up. And maybe even more importantly, they've managed to make themselves number one in the league in run defense. The number one run defense in all of football is the Chicago Bears. They're terrible, and they got to get rid of the quarterback. Anyway.
Yeah.
I concur, and I will take the Bears. Here we go, Dallas-Miami. Both 10-4. Should be a really fun one.
It's still not the game of the week.
Well, no, but it's certainly up there. Dallas, of course, all 4 losses on the road, and Miami was undefeated at home before the Titans found a way to sneak one out on them. Dallas's O-line is a little beat up. Miami's O-line is really beat up, so this is another one where it might not be as clean or crisp as we would hope for 2-10-4 teams, but Miami is expecting it to get Tyreek Hill back from his ankle injury, which is, of course, a big deal there. Dallas is only a 1.5-point underdog at Miami.
Yeah, a surprisingly close line, given where the two teams are, knowing Miami's strength at home, seeing what Dallas is, the heckle and jide team that they've had. To not have a cop-out line here feels a little weird. However, I'm taking Dallas. This is on pure instinct. This is a just-because pick because I think everything is saying, wow, they went to Buffalo. Buffalo ran all over them. The Dolphins aren't quite that same kind of animal. I know they've got the fast running backs. They can come at you with Achan and Mostert. They can do a lot of things that way. I don't know if they commit to that. I don't think that they can have that same fortitude at home with that coach, and, you know, to just not try to air this out. And I think that plays into Dallas' strength in the defense. So while I do think that Dallas is going to give up some big plays, I think that their pass defense can also make some big plays. I think that's enough that they can maybe spring a trap here going into Miami.
All week I was going Dolphins because I know Mike McDaniel saw what Buffalo did to Dallas on the ground. And
right.
I trust and believe he was scheming up some wicked run plays. And Tyreek on play action will be ready to burn. The PFF podcast brought up a little bit of the same points that you were just bringing up. I worry about the Miami run blocking. It's not the same animal. It's a whole different scheme. It's zone blocking. It's speed. It's opening up holes on the perimeter. It's not just going and pushing it down your throat and pushing you back 20 yards. So, yeah, I think that plays into the Cowboys. If you're the Cowboys, you want them to try to get outside with their fast guys because then you get to have your fast guys get out there and meet them at the holes and say, hey, you thought you were going to get out here and run for a while. Nope, I'm sitting right here. So, yeah, I concur. I think Dallas is embarrassed from what Buffalo did to them. I think they're going to come out fired up. And I think the Miami's way of running, I didn't think about it the way you phrased it, but I definitely agree with you that they're not going to commit as much to the run as Buffalo did either, because Mike McDaniel is so in love with his passing game, and I don't blame him at all. But, yeah, they're not going to try to run for 266 on Dallas because they're trying to get it done through the air. I think they're both going to get it done through the air. I think Dak can take it to Miami. I think it'll be a back and forth, and I got Dallas to come out on the other end of a high-scoring game. So
yeah, I mean, this has got 33-30 written all over it.
Or 34-31. How about that?
Oh, is that what you have?
Score to that, then. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So far off. We're, our opinions are so different on these games.
Yeah.
All right, and that's another one that I just knew I was going to surprise you and take the Cowboys on the road, and there's no way.
You know, it's funny, I was
that.
Thinking Dolphins all week too, but the more I thought about the game, I came to this one late. It wasn't as soon as I made the pick, but I would say by Friday, I was like, I'm starting to get those little hairs standing up on the back of my neck telling me, you know, my spidey sense is tingling that this could be a Dallas upset here on the road after they just got embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we got the same spidey sense, so we concur. All right, Sunday night will be Patriots and Broncos on Christmas Eve. New England 3-11, Denver 7-7. Don't know how many of us are going to be staying up to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
But at least it might be kind of interesting. There might be snow, so there hasn't been too many snow games. So we'll see how that turns out.
It hasn't been much. We have no snow here. It's supposed to be near 50 on Christmas.
That's insane up there where you are.
Yeah. This will be our first Christmas without snow in 5 years.
Wow. It has been unseasonably warm. I was hoping it would stay unseasonably warm for this coming Friday when I – go out to the Liberty Bowl and work my last college football game, but it's not going to be very toasty. I think it's going to be in the 40s. So,
no.
But all the other games
that's
I went to, right, exactly. But all the other games I worked, all of them were like 60, 70 degrees, just perfect. Could not ask for better weather all season. So I can't complain too much about in the 40s. Anyway, New England and Denver, Juju Smith-Schuster will not play. He's got an ankle injury for the Patriots. Ramondre Stevenson, the running back, will not play. He also has an ankle injury. Patriots are the big underdogs here, plus +7 and a hook at the Broncos.
That's oh, my God. It almost physically pains me to say I'm going to take the Broncos and give that many points because it's so hard to have faith. Even against, the corpse of Goat Coach and Bailey Zappi, it's still over a touchdown cover. I can't do it. I'm taking the Patriots and I'm taking the points. That's a lot. For this line opened at 5.5 and has gone up as high as 8 to get this thing to 7. Yeah, so just to get a full touchdown, there's some turmoil going on with the Broncos. We're starting to see some cracks. And I'll take Goat Coach and Bailey Zappi. He had a nice game. They tried to hang tight with the Patriots. He had that 3-touchdown game before that. They can do some things. Not all is right with Denver, so I'll take the points.
I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Can you? Did you try to take the Broncos and give the 7.5? You just could not make it.
As soon as I tried to type it in on my computer, the physical pain that overwhelmed me. It was just so much easier to just put NE in there.
The arthritis just crippled your hand, and you're like, can't do it. I'm with you. Which coach is going to cuss out his quarterback first in this one? I think it's going to be Sean and Russ again. Yeah, like you said, it's not all peaches and cream over there, and they've been playing much better. But yeah, it's just it might be bad weather, and I don't know if Denver's good enough. I know they're 7-7. I don't know if they're good enough to really beat anybody by a touchdown. So I'm going to take the 7 and a hook. That hook does scare me. The triple header on Christmas Day. Is that right? It's 11:23. This is the fastest we've ever gone through a show. I guess I got to get sick all the time. The Christmas triple header starts with Vegas and the Chiefs. Raiders at 6-8, Chiefs at 9-5. There may be some rain in that forecast in that game. These two played in Week 12 in Kansas City. Beat them down 31-17. That was interesting though. They were down 14-0 to the Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders had their shot.
Yeah, before the Chiefs came back with an ass whooping. For this one, running back Josh Jacobs is expected to return from his quad injury for the Raiders, but they got a talented tight end, Michael Meyer. He's not going to play with a toe injury. For the Chiefs, as I already said, Kadarius Toney is out with Mahomes hit him while he was asleep. That's what he's out with. That's not what actually happened, but that's what I'm thinking in my mind. Is Mahomes had to have hit him in his sleep with a hammer.
It was a code red.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
The Raiders are plus 10.5 at the Chiefs.
I just said it. The Raiders had their shot.
Yeah.
And they blew it. Even though the Chiefs are a shell of their former offensive glory, they're still putting up the numbers. They don't have Kadarius Toney to blame this one on. So yeah, I'll take the Chiefs.
That's probably is a better thing for the Chiefs that he's not even out there to mess things up. I tell you what, if Pat Mahomes takes this squad to a number one seed, just retire the MVP and name it after Pat Mahomes. Like, just name it in his name. That's ridiculous. They're even possibly contending still for a number one seed. As fucked up as that team is, they've screwed up so many games for him. It feels like a sort of a Chiefs collapse here. They've been just hanging out by a thread. I'm gonna take the Raiders in the points here. I don't know if they're gonna win.
Last time and it did not work, and it looked so good early. I think Jacobs had like a 75-yard touchdown run or something like that to put them up 14-0. I'm like, oh yeah, and then it was no. Wait a minute. I feel better. Yeah, the Chiefs just decided, wait, they remembered who they were and then just went out and did Chiefs things to them.
Wait, I feel better. Yes, I can stand. I can walk. I can mumble. Yeah, bastard, yeah, me.
I'm still wondering about this damn website. Just completely stoned me all the way until the last second, and then everything is working perfectly fine. Just so weird. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we were ready to just give up and not have a show for the first time, like, ever.
That
no
was my
show. This thing's completely broken. I'm laying in bed, and you text me, it works.
That was my last second ditch at 9:59 Central to try to connect one more time, and it put me through it. I'm like, what? Really?
I'm walking down the hallway, out of the bedroom, and my wife's in the bathroom, brush her teeth, the door's shut, and, like, hear her in there, and I'm like, I'm going downstairs. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, show's working. She's like, oh, okay.
Go figure.
Like, so you're not going to get much sleep tonight? I'm like, I'll get plenty of sleep. I don't have to get up to like 7, you know? It's not like I'm working tomorrow. Just going to Christmas at my sister's. So it's not... You know, like, I'm going to be really needed for anything.
Yeah, that's the best kind of holiday. We just kind of sit there and enjoy everything. So.
Yeah, I'm going to eat and be with my family and open some presents.
There you go. The late afternoon Christmas game is Giants-Eagles, New York at 5-9, and Philly at 10-4. Devontae Smith has a knee situation. I think he's still going to play through it, though. In this one, Danny DeVito and the Giants are the biggest spread of the week, plus 13.5 at the Eagles.
This is a huge, this is Danny DeVito. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Stu got
the Eagles.
Come on.
Eagles are falling apart. They just got beat by Drew No, I'm taking the Eagles. I mean, it's a lot of points, but at some point, either the Eagles are going to have to wake up, or this is just over for them, because if they just keep falling apart in these games, yes, they're going to make the playoffs. They're in the playoffs, but something's just not looking right with them if they cannot recapture the magic here at home against a very beatable Giants team. Yes, I know it's Danny DeVito, but his magic wore off some last week already too. The Saints kind of put it to him. So I'm going to take the Eagles here. To win by 2 touchdowns plus, they need to go out and assert dominance over somebody here. Whoop somebody before the season's over. Otherwise, they're going to be one and done.
Yeah, they very well may, but this is another situation, 2 games in 3 weeks. They haven't played the Giants yet, so just feels like a great bounce back for the Eagles. Feels like a great matchup. I think their 3 losses in a row have been all matchup situations. I don't trust Danny DeVito to take advantage of James Bradberry the way that Drew Locke did. And, I think this is the perfect spot for the Eagles to assert their dominance, as you said. I'd like them so much to do that you haven't heard the Lock of the Week sound from me.
I half expected you to lock this up for the Giants.
No. I do respect the Eagles. I do think they have fatal flaws, but I think for this one, they should be mad enough to sort of, you know, take it out on the Giants and beat them by 4 touchdowns or so.
They need to.
Yeah. And Christmas night to finish off the weekend, the main event, the Ravens and the 49ers, both 11-win teams getting it on in Santa Clara. Should be a great matchup. The Niners won't have Juwan Jennings. Their receiver is Dumplins, but they have so many other weapons that I think they'll be okay. Baltimore 6-1 on the road. San Fran 5-1 at home. Something's going to give. The spread was heavy in the favor of the Niners when it first got made, and there's been money thrown on the Niners to make it even more heavy. So Baltimore is currently +6 at San Francisco.
This is but both the top seeds in each conference. Could be a Super Bowl preview. For all we know,
don't tell Lamar Jackson that.
What? Why?
Because he said, "Man, that's in February. It is December." So he's trying to do the leader thing, but one game at a time.
Okay, yeah. One game at a time. You know, hey, good for Lamar, Dr. Lamar. Maybe he's learning a little bit on the PR angle. We're on to San Francisco. He's focusing on this week, not thinking about Super Bowl. He's thinking about taking care of business. I like that. Even if it's canned from Lamar, that's a big improvement. Makes me feel even better about picking Baltimore and the number here. I do think that the Niners probably escape with a win. They have the home field advantage. But given three more than the cop-out line against a team the caliber of Baltimore, that seems like a lot of points to me. I understand what the Niners are doing, and everybody's in love with them, even though everybody was out of love with them just about like a month and a half ago. It's funny how things change. Baltimore has very quietly – this is one of the most quiet number one seeds we've seen. You know, it's all about, you know, Taylor Swift and the Chiefs and Mahomes and the Bills and all their fluctuations and the Dolphins and all the points they score. Nobody's talking about Baltimore. And I think that John Harbaugh and that team, they probably love it this way. I love Baltimore in this spot.
Yeah, I obviously had to consider both sides. They're both such great teams. So I considered it. The way I think this game will play out is – I think there will be fights. There will be challenges between whistles. And the issue is, will that be enough to disrupt the Niners and their timing and their offense? If both teams are clean and undisturbed, Baltimore can't hang with that offense. That offense is, as we talked about with Kyle Shanahan, they just keep going up and up and up. They keep getting better week after week. Somehow they best themselves every week. They get even better. Baltimore can't hang, especially now that I really hated to see this, that game-changing speed of running back Keaton Mitchell. And he just got snuffed out running a ball and just went down, no contact, blew out his knee, he's done. That was a huge key for Baltimore. I think that was an element that they don't have, like a running back that can take it to the house. They got Gus Edwards grinding it out between the tackles. That's fine, and getting it in the goal line. And Justice Hill is sort of the change of pace, but he's not going to take it, you know, 50, 60 yards to the house. Keaton Mitchell potentially could take it 60 yards to the house every time he touched it, because that's how fast he is. And the fact that they don't have him, I think that's a big deal. So if they dirty it up enough, I think the Ravens can hang and cover the spread, but I don't think they can dirty it up quite enough to throw the Niners off of their game plan and their offense. I'm going to take San Fran and give the 6. That is a stupid big number, but you know, winning by 10 isn't exactly a blowout, but it does cover 6. So I will take the 49ers and give the 6.
Yeah, I was surprised for what you'd expect two teams of this caliber. You know, you just would normally go, cop-out line, right? On it. Nobody's dissatisfied. But, yeah, it opened at 5 and moved higher.
And got higher, right.
So
will it be 7 by the time they kick it off Christmas night?
Yeah. It could be. Yeah, money coming in on the Niners. But at the number it's at right now, the money's even. So they seem to have found their spot. You're at 51%, 49%, Baltimore to San Fran. So that's generally what you're looking for, is that, you know, get the line to the point where the money comes in even on both sides. And this is, of all the games on the board, the most even of the week.
Yeah, it's going to be a great one. It's going to be an absolute showcase. And like I said, I think it's going to be, you know, chippy at parts, but I don't think it's going to be chippy enough for them to, for the Ravens to hang around with the 49ers for, you know, within more than like a couple scores or something like that.
That was a breezy show, but hey, you're not feeling well. It's Christmas weekend.
Yep.
We don't have to belabor it. We got all of our awards in. We got all of our, well, not many picks. I mean, we're doing 3 less picks than we would normally do on a full slate. And we didn't disagree a ton. And when we did disagree, I don't think we loudly disagreed.
No, it was, how many do you think we disagreed on?
5? Maybe 6?
Yeah, it was like 6 to me.
It felt like it was going to be a lot, and then we started agreeing a ton, which is usually how it goes. So, we split the first two that we disagreed on already in six more. You know, we've only got two more weeks after this, and we start to get into the playoffs. So,
yeah, finally. Seems like it's forever.
I know. And then you had already told me next week is another Saturday show, which is perfect.
That's good. I'm glad it's not an issue. Yeah, I was thinking for a while there. I was like, I'm going to do this Liberty Bowl game because it starts at 2:30. I'll be out of there by 6:30, 7 o'clock, and that's plenty of time to get home and get ready and do a podcast. And then I was like, no, that's crazy.
Oh.
I
don't... Yeah.
That's asking a little much.
And next week, we only have one Saturday game.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, we've got the Thursday night, which I believe is the last. That's the last Thursday night game, and that's a dud. Jets-Browns. And then we only have the one Saturday game. That's a good one, Lions-Cowboys.
Okay.
But then, yeah, so we don't have to do, you know, we're not going to have four games played by the time we go live next Saturday night.
No. So that's a good thing. I'll bid you adieu, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you. The week after that, we might need to do a Sunday. I mean, for the last week of the season, that's that. We might want to just do, I'm going to call it right now. Let's just do a Sunday morning show.
That's fine.
If you're free, because that night, that's my birthday, the day before.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a feeling I'll probably be out with the family and doing stuff with them that night. So not that often, you know, that I get it on a Saturday where I'm going to be home. And home that whole day, so I'm going to be here doing stuff with them. But I'm perfectly fine. And that's perfect for us to do the last show of the regular season. We could, just like we did the first show of the regular season, on a Sunday morning.
Assuming Blog Talk Radio works.
If it works, correct. But we lucked out tonight. You hung on and you hung on. And
I'm stunned. I was absolutely stunned.
Not more stunned than I was when I got that text from you that it worked. And I was like... Really? Okay. We'll give it a go. And it's been it's been rock steady tonight, better than last week.
Ain't that some shit? Just go figure. You know what? You kept telling me about I need to communicate with them and maybe ask about a refund or whatever. I did send them an email. They just sent back a general, we got your email and we'll respond shortly, that type of thing. But I did tell them, look, we need to be refunded because we had last week's show. We didn't get on this week's show. At the time I wrote the email, this week's show we didn't get on at all. And last week's show we got cut off. So, yeah, I was like, I don't think we should have to pay for this month. So we'll see how they react to that.
Yeah, you know what they did? They got that email and went, quick, turn it back. Let them in. They want their money back.
Everyone else, keep them locked out, but let those guys
even
in.
Even if
they're
they said, hey,
refunds.
You know what, we're going to prorate you back 2 weeks or whatever, something. Show us something here that you're acknowledging that your service that we pay for is not functional.
Because at this point, it looks like they're just all out to sleep, you know, and not even paying attention at all. You know, they got that little note up here about we are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. Okay, that doesn't really help me, you know, when I'm trying to do a show. Amazingly, it worked out, and we got through, and it stayed up the entire time. So,
all right,
figure.
And this will turn out to be one of our zippiest shows ever.
It is. How about it?
Well, I hope you feel better. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
All right. Thank you.
And, enjoy your couple of weeks here of being an old man. And
respect your elders.
That's right. And
I was so pissed. The wife is going to take me to Texas Day Brazilian.
That's what
today,
she said.
For my birthday.
Yeah.
And then I get to work and I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I got a cold. And my throat was sore and my nose was running and I got a cough. And like I said, I got home and my wife was immediately like, here's the COVID testing. And I'm thinking, you know, this can't be COVID. I can still smell everything. No, it's the new COVID. It didn't get rid of my smell or taste, but it's still kicking my ass. But hopefully I'm rounding the corner. Because I don't think I could have did this show last night because that's how rough my voice was. So at least it's getting better.
Well, you don't sound bad. You just sound tired. You sound like it's time to go to bed.
That's because it's time to go to bed.
All right.
He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been miraculously in much less detail the podcast. Thank you all for listening. It'd be a miracle if anyone was listening live. And we will attempt to be back next Saturday night to do week 17 and give you our awards for week 16. Everybody have a very, very Merry Christmas, and we'll hopefully talk to you next Saturday.